We humans have long tried to come up with some explanation for why we get sick, why we have disabilities of various kinds. Whether it's because it's some kind of punishment from the animals, as in the Cherokee story, or a punishment from God, or nowadays there are all these theologies that talk about how we bring these things on because we have a lesson we want to take, we want to learn, or we bring it on because there's something in our psyche that's broken in some way, and if we could only fix that, we'd be totally healthy. We'd never have anything going wrong in our lives. We'd have everything we want. My sense is that we try so hard to come up with an explanation for these problems because we want to control them and make them not happen to us. If only we can figure out what that magic thing is, we'll always be good. We'll always eat right. We'll get our mental health together so that we don't bring those nasty illnesses into our lives. Stop doing too much. I don't know, whatever it is. I tell myself that, certainly. And lately, I didn't do such a great job. You may have seen me kind of hobbling around. I pulled a muscle in my back. And it's true, I was working a lot and not doing what I needed to take care of myself. So I can look at that and I can say, okay, I'm going to commit to taking care of myself every day, doing my exercises that I need to do, and not do something stupid like try to lift the compost bin and turn it upside down when I'm getting older. And I'm not doing as much physical work either. So I can do those things. And the reality is I will still get sick and I will still do something to my body someday and I'll hurt. Those things happen. And of course I'm going to die. These things happen to us all. It was really easy when I was 20 years old and really healthy to think that I'd be the same way when I was 90. Now I know that if I live to be 90, I'm probably going to have a lot of aches and pains, if not other things going on. So partly, illness just happens. And sometimes we are born with things wrong with our minds or our bodies that make us seem different from everybody else, as Nancy Mears points out. And she brings up an interesting point, I think, that we think of people who struggle with some kind of disability or chronic illness as somehow different and maybe not as good as. We probably don't do that consciously, just in the same way that we now talk about how racism is not necessarily that conscious dislike of someone who's of a different color, if you happen to be white. But that racism is that learning that we have just from growing up in a culture that normalizes one particular race and creates a power structure that makes that particular color reap benefits that others do not. Well, that racism is a part of us, whether it's conscious or not. And they talk about ableism. Now, there's neurotypical thinking. So, for instance, there's the movement within autism to normalize autism as just another way of being in the world. And I suspect that in some ways that's a wonderful thing. I think that my grandfather was, you think of it as Asperger's, but I guess it would be now considered part of the autism spectrum. And I know that from my mother growing up with a father who had that kind of odd way of being in the world and difficulty relating to human beings, it was not easy. It was very hard for her. So, and I have a brother who has schizophrenia, and it's not autism, but still, if we're looking at autism as being just a part of the norm, then mental illness is also part of the norm. And yet there's something that is different and painful in being filled with the kind of fear that he had from his paranoia, and it's hard for the families. So, well, I read an article written by a woman with autism who was saying that she was normal and good, she had all these wonderful traits, and people just looked at the things she couldn't do. Wonderful, that's great. I think that is important, that we look at the things everyone can do and the gifts that everyone can offer. On the other hand, her mother happened to be a writer who wrote about what it was like to raise a child with autism. And I can see from what the young woman wrote that that was probably not easy to read her mother's writing, because it was very stressful and difficult for her mother on some levels. And she wrote about that. I can relate, having had to take care of my brother and seeing the struggles my mother went through. And also taking care of my mother when she was elderly and the last years of her life when she had Parkinson's and then vascular dementia on top of that. I loved her. I was happy to take care of her, and I was incredibly stressed and got angry sometimes. My mother had many gifts that came out of her illness and dementia for her and for me. She was able to forgive her father, for example, in a way she hadn't been able to before she got the dementia. And I was just in awe of that process. She was able to let down her defenses and show some of the love she felt that I knew she felt, but that she hadn't been able to express because of her own resistance. So there are definitely gifts that come from whatever life journey we have. A friend of mine has a son who has Down syndrome. He is a wonderful, joyful human being who brings incredible wonder and blessings into her life, and it's very hard. She has to figure out how he's going to be okay now that he's 19 years old. How's he going to be okay when she dies? What does she set up for him? And is she going to have to take care of him for her entire life? And when does she find freedom or a break from that? Now, is that a nice way to think about someone we love? No. And yet, it's true that we need our own lives as well. We need a break sometimes. I needed respite from taking care of my mother. This mother who had raised this child with autism sometimes needed to get away. She needed time and space for herself. So balancing the reality that all of us, regardless of our illnesses, regardless of any disabilities that we have, are whole and I would say perfect, depending on how you view that word, but when I say that, I mean we are exactly right and okay as we are, and there is a wholeness inside of us exactly as we are. That doesn't mean we don't have room for growth. It doesn't mean it would be nice if we could take some herb and feel better, one of those plants that in the story that gave us the medicine to get well. I would really like to have something that would take away the neurological pain that I am having. Unfortunately, there's not much to take for neurological pain. And that's the way it is for people. This is not going to last forever for me, but there are definitely people out there who deal with this every day, all the time. And you have to keep going somehow. And at the same time, even with these things going on, we are whole. We have the capacity to love and to laugh, to be in relationship, there's a young man who has cerebral palsy, who is a patient in the team where a patient with one of the teams where I'm a chaplain at Kaiser. He can't really talk. He doesn't communicate much. He barely even responds when you talk to him. And of course, he has the physical disability that comes with cerebral palsy. And at the same time, there are moments when he has such an incredible laugh, so delightful. It lights up the room. His warmth fills you. There is an incredible sense of something wise and beautiful inside of him that probably would not be there if his body were what we call whole. That does not mean that everyone who is sick or has some sort of difficulty navigating our world is joyful and wise. I've been pretty grouchy sometimes with this pain I have, and I know that some folks get bitter, angry, and can't get out of that. So certainly, just because we have this illness going on doesn't mean we're a delight to be around. And I would say that my brother was not a delight to be around, especially when he was in the very deep parts of his illness. And I know that some people with autism are not a delight to be around. Having had some kids when I was a religious educator, in my class who had that problem, it takes a lot of managing to help them be okay. It's part of our work to do, and it's part of our gift to be able to do that, those of us who can. In the blurb that I wrote, I talked about entitlement. I wasn't really sure what I was thinking back then when I wrote that. So I thought about that the last couple of days. When I think of entitlement, I think of that expectation that we deserve every good thing just because we're alive. And that's what grace is, in a way. And I think it's okay to have that sense. Grace is that we get good things without having to deserve them. And we get grace in so many ways. The plants offered grace, for instance, to the people through their medicine. We offer grace to one another whenever we show a kindness. Grace comes in just amazing. Like this morning, I was doing some stretching, and I came up from my stretch and looked out the window, and there was the full moon blazing in. And it just was this incredible moment where I was filled. Nothing else mattered right then, except knowing, yes, there is beauty. Right here and now, there is beauty. That's grace. So entitlement may seem a little bit like grace when I say it that way, because, yes, of course, we don't have to earn love. We don't have to earn gifts. And yet entitlement is the expectation that we're going to get them, and that if we don't get them, then somebody's doing something wrong and we deserve to be angry. Entitlement is also just probably a little bit of the ignorance that I had at 20 when I was perfectly healthy and I didn't really get what it meant to be sick. I didn't get what it meant. We don't understand sometimes. I mean, there are all kinds of people going through things I don't understand. As I get older, I get to have more and more experiences, and I get to understand more and more of what folks are going through, and it's great. But I'll never experience everything. None of us can in one lifetime. And yet, sometimes I still get caught up in forgetting and judging from my place of being okay. And I think the entitlement causes us to judge and causes us to be a little afraid of those who are different. As Nancy Mayer said in her reading, most of us would not want to wake up to someone next to us in bed who has a deformity of some kind. In her book, she talks about her sexual relationships with her husband and mentions that, you know, they have a way of being sexually intimate that is so different than perhaps the norm. Yes, sometimes you have to figure out some creative things to do. But which one thing that struck me in what she said was her doctors never once asked her about her sexual life. They just assumed she didn't have one. And I think that we do that. We make assumptions about people who are different, that somehow they don't deserve the same things, or of course they can't expect to have the same things, and yet we all long for love. We all long for connection and intimacy. Not all of us find that. I also mentioned in the blurb, in the title actually, trauma, psychic trauma. And I think originally I was going to talk more about that than I have time to do right now. But I have spoken here about the ACE study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences study. You may or may not remember that. It was a study put on by Kaiser and the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. They studied 17,000 people who had Kaiser insurance, looking at 10 types of adverse childhood experiences, and then looked at their rates of illness, physical and mental illness, their addiction rates, their rates of incarceration, lots of different things like that. One thing they found was that the rates of physical illness increase dramatically the more of these adverse childhood experiences you have. The VA did a study of veterans with PTSD and also some other folks with PTSD, and looking at the correlation between veterans who did and did not have PTSD, for example, firefighters who did and did not have PTSD, and their physical health problems. Now, the research is still new. It's not terribly conclusive. However, there seems to be a correlation between PTSD and cardiovascular illness and gastrointestinal illness. And then the Adverse Childhood Experience study isn't necessarily looking at PTSD. So what I think we see from that is that folks with trauma in general, whether or not you have PTSD, we all have more physical health issues. One reason may be because folks with PTSD or trauma backgrounds tend to try and soothe themselves in unhappy ways. So that's going to be one part of it. But in the PTSD study, they corrected for that. It's not the right word. But they looked at the rates compared to folks who did not engage in those behaviors, and still the level of illness was greater. Maybe that has to do with the type of personality that tends to go along with PTSD. A lot of anxiety or a lot of anger. Those are the two types of PTSD they talk about. Anxiety and depression go together. And there's studies show that folks with depression tend to use the health system more and tend to have more physical health issues. And folks who are angry and hold on to their anger a lot, who are driven, more physical health issues. So that's the connection with trauma. And the grace piece is the healing. With trauma, I don't know that there are studies that show this. There's a lot we don't understand. My guess, though, is if we found a way to nurture those who had lived with a lot of trauma in their lives, and help them to heal, especially when they were younger, that their rates of illness might reach more the norm than be so great. So my hope, my desire is that in our society we find a way to care, to nurture one another in our mental illness, to find a way to help people heal from trauma, to help people feel welcome when they're different somehow, no matter what that difference is, including illness and disabilities. That we find a way to create a loving container for everyone who is among us and around us. You do that by reaching out to the homeless folks you work with, for example, creating that loving container, because that is where the healing is. It's the beginning. It's not everything. But without the love, no healing will occur. May it be so.